Greetings and welcome to the God Speaks podcast. My name is Billy Cappage.
And I'm Ricky Gittemau, and we both serve as catalysts for orality with the Lausanne movement. We want to welcome you to an ongoing conversation on orality, discipleship, and missions. We're excited to introduce to you a God who loves to communicate, who's been telling his story through rich media since before creation. This multimodal communication is recorded in his word and best embodied and exemplified through the living word, his son, Jesus Christ. And so because we are humans and made in his image, we believe that we were made to go and do likewise, to communicate with him and with others.
Building on that foundation, we want to explore how we can reprioritize communication, specifically oral communication, as a vital category within the church's understanding of missions, as we seek to communicate the gospel to the world around us, drawing from God's example. Each episode, we'll be inviting different seasoned orality gurus and practitioners to help us along the way.
This conversation is impacting our lives, our families, and our work. And we're excited that you're joining us, as together we can reaffirm that our God speaks.
I'm excited about today's conversation for a number of reasons, but maybe we could just start with prayer. Let's begin there. I'd like to open us, and then we'll jump into more of the conversations. Jesus, I want to say thank you for the chance to be with these men and women. And some, there's a small cluster of us here alive. There'll be some that'll join us later. Jesus, I just pray for both groups. And Father, I pray that our conversation today could be for the betterment, the growth, and the grace of each one of us, and not just us, but for those that we are trying to love and serve in the corner of the vineyard where you've called each of us. So if you're here with us, our conversation will be worthwhile. So we welcome you. We invite you. Would you be the host of our time together? And could you guide our discussion? I pray the technology would work, everyone's internet would hold up, and the things we talk about would be an encouragement and a strength for all of us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're excited today to welcome Samuel Chang, who is no stranger to orality, and certainly not to many of us here, at least on the call today. But I know there'll be some maybe listening later on. And maybe Samuel, they won't know you as well, or haven't had the chance to get to know you quite as well. Samuel, I'm just excited. You serve right now. I want to get this right. The a deputy secretary, is that right? Deputy secretary for ministries, general ministries of the World Evangelical Alliance. Am I close?
Oh, you're dead on. So World Evangelical Alliance. As a secretary general, who is Thomas Schumacher. He's located in Germany. And there are two of us who are deputy secretary general. One is overseeing operations, and the other one is overseeing ministries. So I'm given the privilege to steward the ministry side.
Wow, that's exciting. Samuel, I want to come to that, and I want to better understand that role. And I know some of us here will as well. But Samuel, we're God Speaks is a webinar podcast specifically geared for conversations on orality and the gospel. And I'm excited to hear more about WA and the role God's given you there. But give us a little bit of a backstory. For some are going to know well, but still fill in the gaps. What is your experience with orality? How did God bring you into that? What have been kind of some of your opportunities or some of the opportunities God's given you in that? In the days before or previously?
Oh my goodness.
Abridged version.
yes. Promise to be short. It was back in 2004 in the winter. And I remember one of the former orality member group had called me, and we were talking, and the question was posed to me, do you really believe in this stuff? I said, absolutely. I said, it could change every single ministry into the future. I said, this is God's size. So that's how I I remember that call, and I remember my conviction speaking to it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Tell us your role a little bit. Tell us your role, because you knew Avery Willis, who was instrumental in kind of founding the International Orality Network, and then you played a role in ION as well. Give us just a little bit of your relationship with Avery, and then kind of how you stepped into that role with ION.
Yeah. So I was sitting at table 71, and then, you know, Avery was there, and he was always pushing the free stuff over to YWAM. He says, you guys could use this. You could have a free. And then as Orality was developing, you know, everybody's ears were just perking up. And I love his spirit in which he was sharing things and the way he admitted to the fact that even though he had been a seminary president, even though he had been on the field for so many years, he had his Orality moment and realized what he was doing textually was not necessarily being effective. And then, of course, you know, we talk about a number of different other leaders and so on and so forth. And I'm so happy that, Tom, that you're on. And I remember we talked about you, and then we moved forward. And that's how I started gaining understanding and relationships of people who are so passionate about Orality and who are so good at what they do. And Tom, you are just being very prolific in the way that you help us to think about all sorts of things as well.
Well said. Well said. Sam, I love it that you nodded to Tom. Very well, very appropriate. Tom, thank you for being here again. Samuel, you ended up stepping into the executive director role of ION. How long did you serve in that role?
Well, it was after Avery had gone to see Jesus. And so that was essentially 2010 to, I was in ION in the leadership team from 2008 all the way to 2015, and specifically receiving the stewardship from 2010 to 2015.
Love it. I belabor that only because I want our audience to recognize that this is, Orality is very much a part of you. This is not something that, you know, you have read a book about. This is something that you likewise have also been quite prolific in producing resources on Orality. And for those of you who aren't aware, if you go to the orality.net, if you go to ION's website, under their resource tab, there's a whole series of books that Samuel helps steward into existence. He's the editor, but he's more than that. He helped make all that happen. So there's those incredible resources. He's also the founder of the Orality Journal. That's likewise on the ION's website. Sam, you can't tell the story of ION without telling the story of what Samuel's done. So I just communicate that for our audience so that you have an idea of Samuel's, not just his credentials, but his heart for what we're talking about here. Samuel, you mentioned Avery's kind of aha moment. You were involved in Orality for so long, and then God kind of opened up the opportunity for you to step into Bible translation, and then for Bible translation now into a role with WEA. And in between there, there's even, you've had a role with the Global Evangelism Network. In so many ways, you know, one way to look at that would be like, oh, you've set Orality aside, but I actually know your heart. No, that's not actually what you've done. You've just kind of carried it into new levels. And I want to know a little bit more about WEA and kind of your current role now as the Deputy General Secretary over Ministries. And tell us what that is. And then my follow-up question is going to be, how do you see Orality as kind of informing all those different ministries and roles?
Yeah, sure. I'll take it in three parts, and I'll be short and quick on each one of them. I was invited initially to start up what became the Global Evangelism Network within the World Evangelical Alliance. And And you know, evangelism. I remember walking down the street and at about like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, praying about this and raising my hand to God and saying, "Me doing evangelism? Are you kidding me?" And then the Lord dropped Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You know, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Oh my goodness. I my hands were still raised, but my head was down. And so and it was a moment in which I realized, yeah, the gospel, the good news, and the oral transmission of it in every way possible, and the embodiment of it all for the world's population. And it is something to be stewarded. That's first. And secondly, God has been so gracious. You know, if you go to witness.city, the URL, witness.city, you will see so many different organizations have decided to partner up, collaborate, and move things forward. And of course, evangelism is never about one methodology, except, you know, when we tell it. Or when we embody it out, but it's about so many different ways of approaching. And so that's been very exciting to see people coming together. The third thing with respect to people collaborating together is, you know, I am thrilled when God shows new things that I never knew about before. For example, if you went there, you will see that we have a link to advanced groups. This is a ministry that started like 5-6 years ago that is all of a sudden in 70-80 different countries in over 17 to 18 different languages from your Hausa to your Hindi. And I'm going, wow, God grew this. And when you see how God is working, because every generation have somebody of his choicest servant wanting to take the gospel forward, God wants to see that happening. And by the way, advanced groups, as I speak about it, they have a 3-year curriculum to help people to live out evangelism as a family and in community. And so these are sort of things that that I'm just so thankful that God has allowed me to discover along the way within the Global Evangelism Network.
Samuel, I love the enthusiasm and your passion comes out, which just brings that kind of strengthens all of us. For those that may not be as familiar, some of the audience will know the Lausanne movement. Some may know WEA, but some may not be as familiar. Give us just a quick introduction. WEA, World Evangelical Alliance, what is their primary vision, or what's the kind of introduce them just in a quick thumbnail sketch to our audience?
World Evangelical Alliance, since its founding, 178 years ago, wow. Years ago, has rode along to bring, to speak forth, bring together, and to demonstrate unity in the body of Christ. And this is a very important thing for us. And so the aspect of unity is important, and we express it in a number of different ways. And then demonstratively, it is to help the church in every country, evangelical church, to live out fully what that really means. It could go as much as stewardshipping social justice all the way towards legal issues. And the key thing is to speak up about the persecuted Christians and the freedom of religion. And so we do it at both the grassroots level and all the way up to the UN level. And so in the UN level, from New York to Brussels to Bonn to Geneva, we have advocacy groups specifically speaking to the UN, because we have been granted the permanent member status for advisory. And so we actually do speak up very specifically about that. And that in itself is, if you will, speaking forth about our own specific witness.
It's interesting. I loved how you tied that together. What stood out to me was the speaking forth and the orality piece of that, kind of calling, bringing into existence just through your words and your witness. So you have the orality piece, but then the witness piece is kind of this kind of evangelical thrust of trying to say, hey, this is who God has called us to be. How do we live that out? Samuel, is there any other group that has quite the political position that WEA has? And what I mean by that is to have the opportunity. There's a lot of mission agencies. I don't know of many others that are involved in trying to do what you're doing at a political level, like to reach that kind of level, to the position on the UN and so forth like that. Is that unique, or is that actually more common than I've realized?
Actually, it's extremely unique. We call it really our witness in the public square. And yeah, the only other group really is the Vatican.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so God's given you an extensive heart for orality. And he's put you in this kind of very unique, I say organization, but network that has kind of a, but it's also a platform. Help some of us understand, and we've already kind of alluded to it, so I'm asking you to kind of elaborate a little bit, but you've talked about this speaking forth, giving a witness. How do you see orality as playing a role in what you're doing kind of pragmatically on the ground, in the ground, like, in the operations level, at the political level, in the ministry level, like in all those different spheres? How do you see orality as kind of engaging or interfacing in those different areas?
Yeah, so really at, I'll move from hierarchical layers. At the highest level, aside from perhaps submitting textual documents, the presentations are all oral. When we are before, let's just say, the Human Rights Commission at the UN in Geneva, we would actually also invite along, for example, the World Council of Churches. For example, we might bring along some Jewish groups, etc., and we would talk very specifically, and those are all oral presentation. But when you move into various segments, the expression of it is expressed oftentimes very orally. And then when you are even down to the grassroots level, it still is very clear that certain cultures looks at even today, how well do you dance as a possibility to become the principal. And in between the various levels, I think one of the things that we do to advocate on behalf of orality very specifically is we speak up about to different organizations and ministries and say something like this: you know, your material is good, but if you're going to go to funders, how do you justify that your material could work only maybe 30% of the time? They will look at me and I will say, you know, 70% of the world's population is really oral by nature. And so your material, for textual people, you might be missing an audience. And your material, if it's for oral people, you're missing massive amount of audience. And how do you go to funders and sort of say, yeah, every dollar you give to us, we'll be faithful to the 30% of that dollar, because our audience will get to our material. And I even sort of have my shoulder up when I talk a little bit like that with them. But I want to puncture through to help people to realize that we have to think very differently about orality, as well as thinking very differently about how we work with people who are of oral nature and background or have a preference towards that, so as to be stewarding our time 100% and prayerfully to be effective, so that the fruit could be 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Samuel, it's interesting. You mentioned the verse earlier, God kind of inviting you into the G-E-T. Don't be ashamed. And one of the things that we have noticed among certain groups, and again, I'm going to overstate it to make a point. So hear that. Let me just acknowledge. But there's a tendency. I know you and I have talked about this with Ricky and others in some of our conversations with others. They have expressed kind of this passion for trying to share Christ with the world and bring his word to the world and all those different things. And one of the things that there's been a tendency of starting to say is, well, we need to get to the gatekeepers. We need to get to the financiers, the people that have the purse strings. And then we need to get to the ones that really kind of make the political decisions. And orality, man, that's important. And that's so needed out in the, and they try and avoid words like the bush. But there tends to be kind of this pejorative sense of orality is good for reaching people that are way out there. But I'm trying to reach the urban center. I'm trying to reach the influencers. I'm trying to reach the highly educated or highly whatever your adjective is. And orality is just not for me and not the group. It's not relevant for what I'm trying to do. And what I hear you saying is, I hear you saying the group you're working with has a seat literally at the United Nations table. And you're saying that far from being ashamed of orality, you actually are saying that orality comes up in conversations related to how your kind of group influences or communicates its messages, and even how you relate to funders or how you help partners relate with their funders. It has that much kind of level. That's a slightly different narrative or perspective on orality than I've heard among other mission groups. Could you comment on that? And am I being clear? What I hear you saying is orality actually is incredibly critical. And even not just for trying to do, you know, mission in the hinterlands, but actually in the spheres of power. Am I hearing you right? Could you say any more on that?
Yeah, sure. Yes. So, Billy, I don't know, and I will not speak about other groups, but I do know this from a business point of view. Why did Jeff Bezos of Amazon ban PowerPoint from the company? And it was widely distributed, and the media picked it up. This is a few years back. And in every presentation, they are to write their case story. And that story, even though in textual form, is presented and argued out with business decisions. That's a very interesting mindset. That's one. Second is that, for example, we're about to have a side meeting at the UN, a General Assembly side meeting, to talk about the persecution in India with respect to Manipur. And, you know, sure, there's going to be stats. There's going to be a number of different things. But what will transpire in the conversation are the stories. Numbers, yes, they present data, but it's the stories that presents what matters to the mind, to the heart, and to the actions that may come forth. And by the way, that is why this is off topic slightly, but this is why I love what Tom is doing with his newest book to come. Is he talking about characters? And And if you think about it, Billy, God created us in his image. We cannot see ourselves. You could all see me, but I cannot really see myself per se. But that image has with it the weight of glory or weight of God's glory upon it. Try to carry that. How dare we? And yet, every one of us have that weight of glory that we are to carry. And so orality in that sense has everything to do with the communication of the image of God that has been created. And what matters and what comes out of a mouth really matters. Is it going to be speaking to that image? And how is it speaking to the image that has been created in God's own likeness? Those are all oral pieces. And I'll just stop there.
That's good. Tom, Tom, how soon before we've got a release date on that character theology book? Oh, you're muted.
Oops. It looks like it probably January is when they're going to start doing all the work on it. So I'm thinking maybe 2 months, 3 months into the new year.
Okay, we'll try it. That's a little teaser for those that are listening. We do want you to just keep your ears and eyes open for Tom's upcoming book, soon to come out, hopefully early next year. Ray News helped him with that, but it's a tremendous resource, and it's kind of the next, it's a very helpful kind of extension of Tom's previous work on oral hermeneutics. So Samuel, I appreciate that recommendation, and it's good to just kind of mention that. We're always trying to look for resources to share. If we have time at the end, Samuel, I'd love to hear what you have, what you've been reading, what you have on your nightside table. But before we get to that, it's so helpful to just hear you connect orality with the glory of God, and then the face of everyone that we meet, and even if they're not Christians per se, whoever they are, they reflect something they reflect the image of God, and orality is right at the heart of that. To me, that is such a huge game changer. I really appreciate. I think that moves orality from kind of like just kind of the practitioner kind of level to something right at the heart of reality. So I love that. Samuel, I know you have a big, and let me say big, that's the wrong term, a significant event coming up next month. And I know some of the things we're talking about here will be on the table in discussion. Could you tell us a little bit about that forum that's coming up next month?
Yeah, it's called Future of the Gospel Forum. It's going to be in Istanbul. It's by invitation only. And if all of us who are still on this call here want to go, we only got one more day left to register, and you're invited. October 8th to the 12th in Istanbul. And the Future of the Gospel Forum really has to do with the future ministry of Jesus. And when you think about that, it's so exciting that God is working at all times. And we cannot know everything that he's doing, but there are some things we might know. And just a little background on, as a teaser on this. You know, when we put an event together, and by the way, I was really quite clueless at the beginning how to put one together, because we're talking about the future ministry of Jesus. You know, how do you do all that? But only God could. And so it starts on the 8th and finishes on the 12th. But there are four nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, we start off on the 8th looking at 2025. And then we finish on the 11th, the last night, looking towards 2033. I must tell you, I could not have put that together. It was only the way that God had orchestrated different things, they go, oh, is this what you're doing? You know? And so that's part of the orchestrating. What is it coming together? We identify 9 different tracks that will have significant trajectories into the future with respect to the gospel. There are others, many others. And in fact, one of the track would further break out into 10 different tracks. So, but officially we have 9 different tracks that looks at the major trajectories into the future. And we acknowledge there are many more, but these ones will be fairly defining in the future of the ministry that Jesus is doing, of which we're invited into.
I am in the middle of a course right now. Otherwise, I would be trying to figure out a way to be there October 8th. I would very much like to be a part of those discussions. I just like to listen in on those conversations. They sound tremendous. Again, and I don't want to overstate it or kind of over push it, Samuel, but can you give us just a, will there be an opportunity for orality to be included in some of those conversations or tracks? In my mind, that would be natural, but I didn't know if that was going to have that explicitly made the program or how will that work?
Yes, orality is going to be included in 2 different forms. One is to talk about oral Bible translation and the new leaders of the church. And then also in whole life discipleship. And so
say more on that. Some of us may know that term, but what do you mean by whole life discipleship?
Probably the easiest way for me to describe it is looking at our life as one fabric with no pole, and not something that you have to stitch together, but it's one fabric and there's no bifurcation, and it's done multi-generationally. So that fabric is very, very long. And the whole life discipleship is a fabric of life that could be applicable in many parts of the spheres or society.
To me, that just seems exciting. And trying to think through, I love the concept of the forum of kind of trying to look at the ministry of Jesus, kind of the future and what that's going to look like. What's that? How's that going to unfold? And specifically bringing that into kind of the holistic nature. And in many ways, I think that relates so well to orality. So oftentimes orality invites any of us, all of us, not just us, but then by definition, orality is never singular. It always involves at least 2. And so it requires something. As you're going back to your face comment, you know, it always invites kind of a community aspect. So just by definition, orality is so much more holistic. I like the term whole life discipleship. Just quickly, we had some of you may remember, or those in the audience may remember, in June, we had an episode with Vicki Wright, and she was talking a lot about OBT and kind of their experiences and kind of the really some cutting edge things that are happening there. That's going to be one of your conversation points, Samuel, as well. Am I understanding that right?
Yes, it is. Going back towards the Trinity and the image, and if I could introduce this word, perichoresis, in which there is the holy dance of the Trinity that goes on. And now that is being brought forth with man's participation in the translation of the Word of God in an oral fashion. Of all the remaining languages, about 2000, a little bit more, our oral languages, there's very little textual written at all. And so those are going to be brand new. And why this topic is so important into the future has to do with the fact that in our generation, in over the next 10 years, we're going to see more, if you will, leaders of the church, men and women, leaders of the church into the next decade than we have ever had in all of the accumulation of history. Because every time Bible translated, you know, that they would be leaders of the church who are going to defend why choices were made and how were they made and what does it mean for their generation. And so these leaders of the church are going to be there. And how do we think about ecclesiology? How do we think about the authority of the church? Dare we do discipleship the same way as we've done it in the past? How do we recognize the community and their culture in a way that they have transmitted their tradition, their eldership, and what does it mean for the Word of God orally to either break through that tradition or make bridges into that tradition? And in all this effort, there is also, in some ways, what God has given to us, an ability to use artificial intelligence to do more so that we could be man-centered and then on the side having different ways of using technology to help us. All of these are big topics and it will be talked about at Istanbul.
Oh, it's exciting. That's Samuel, we are all wishing that we could be there with you. Our time is running and I want to be conscious of that just quickly, because there's going to be some here and others listening at a later date who are going to say, wait, if what we're doing is man-centered, then how does AI fit into that, in the sense of what is the relationship between AI and orality? Aren't those antithetical to each other? I know that's a whole nother session, but could you just give a quick thought to that, or could you speak to that just briefly, and maybe we can pick that up in another episode?
Oh boy. Okay. So I'm walking into quicksand here, and
we're releasing the pressure. We're releasing the pressure.
Well, so you know, generative AI starting point is really oral. When we ask the AI and we look at ways for the AI to come back, the starting point is oral. We don't really have categories for those. Let me actually use this, because I know we all experienced it. Lots of films that we have seen, we would name the moment, we would name the line of the film, and when we speak of it, people would just have that image of the film in their mind, and they say, yeah, do you recall that? And they make conversations from it. That starting point, it's not textual, it's all visual. Even though there was a film script that underlies the whole foundation of the film, but when you think about it, that entire piece was visually driven, and the conversation starting point is from there. Let me be clear. The Word of God that God has given to us is textual in keeping it. But how it came to be was the imagination of God with the imagination of man, and then being able to put it down into the 2D form on paper. And then now what we're doing is taking that text back into the imagination. And then when we're talking about the scripture, we're specifically talking about the scripture of the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. And that's the imagination that is there. Wow. That's visual with movies, and generative AI is actually the starting point with oral. That's a whole other area to explore very specifically.
I just think this is one of the reasons I wanted to introduce you, Samuel, to this audience, because I love the way that you make those connections. And I don't find many people making those connections, certainly in relationship to orality, but even kind of bravely being willing to think about this in regards to any different kind of kingdom-related work. And I think what you're hitting on there is so powerful to hear and talk about, this kind of the visual, the imaginative, the generative, but then also trying to reposition AI. It's not just something robotic. There's actually this fundamental oral nature to it. I do think you're right. That's a conversation that would be very valuable to have for us in the days ahead and keep having it. So thank you for just giving us a snippet. And I think that's valuable for all of us to just realize, oh, that's a whole other category we want to keep in mind, particularly in the days ahead. So that's valuable. Samuel, as we come to a close, I'm curious. We've got a couple of folks on here. Cameron Armstrong was on here earlier. He's trying to run a program in orality, and he's teaching folks at the grassroots in the Philippines. And then they're going out throughout all of Asia and the rest down here. And there's others. So for them, thinking about kind of the future of futuristic kind of kingdom themes feels important and curious, but very far removed from what they're doing in the trenches today, as they're trying to figure out, you know, how do they go about their kingdom work and how do they offer the kingdom in the communities and in the relationships that are just, you know, their neighborhoods. And I'm wondering if there's any way you could speak to that, because you are talking at God's given you these opportunities at this level, and yet you have been involved at each of those levels in between. And I'm just wondering, Samuel, what word of encouragement, or maybe there's a verse, I don't know, but what would you want to say to some folks? Maybe they're new to orality, or maybe they've been in orality for a while and just need a word of encouragement for the relevance and the importance of what they're doing, using or exploring, trying to figure out how to better use oral tools. What would you offer to folks that are listening?
Yeah, Billy, thank you. You know, the quick word that came into my mind was stay faithful as a witness in the cities and in the communities. And orality is a potent tool that when stewarded well, faithfully, we will be able to sense and see certain things. I'm also reminded very specifically when Jesus was talking in the Gospel of John about the seeding and the harvesting and the laboring. Well, who did what and who's reaping what? And then when I think about all that, we all think that even with using oral strategies, we will see this many results really quick. But God still has his principle in the Word of God. There's the seeding and there's the harvesting. We're all laboring. And so stay faithful in the witness to the cities, in the communities, in stewarding that tool. And I believe God will give that increase of the 30, 60, 100.
It's a beautiful word, beautiful word. Thank you for that reminder. I loved how you called orality a potent tool. And tools can be dangerous. And how do we keep being faithful and then keep discovering how to better steward what God's entrusted to us? And thank you for the reminder. Each step is significant. And how do we just kind of keep doing what God's assigned us to do and trust him to keep that, to provide the harvest? Vicki, I'm just wondering if you have any closing thoughts for us, and if you would be willing to just kind of conclude our time in prayer, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. You know, I
I think it was just great to get the full picture, the strategic picture of what's going on at WEA, and just to know actually that in the thinking of the future of Jesus' story and how that gets played out in how that gets told and how that gets shared, to know that morality is in the mix, not just I think in the telling of the story, but also in the raising up of the future leaders. That is something that's exciting. And you shared, Samuel, so many things in this time, but just the two words that stick out if I scan back over the last hour is just somewhere in the mix you said a few times, I think, the two words living out. And that's something that I is exciting. Just, Jesus lived out the Word. He was the Word made flesh. And actually as we embody orality, that's what we would love to see our leaders of the church doing, living out His Word. And that's what excites me, to know that it's not about a teaching method, a new way of sharing, a new methodology. Actually, it's an old methodology, and it's the same one that Abraham did, walking out, living out the walk. So thank you, Samuel, and I will close us in prayer.
Thank you.
But Father, we thank you. We thank you for your story. We thank you that you had so many riches to share with us. And you started with story, and I guess we sit in the middle of that story, or maybe even towards the second half of that story. And we just thank you. We thank you that your word, your story is going forth. We thank you that we all here had the opportunity to hear your story, to respond to your story, to join it. And we just thank you for all that Samuel shared about the future of your story. And we just ask that many would hear, that many would know, and just that those words, the living out of your story across every sphere of society, from the leaders of countries to the average person on the street, would live out your story, would hear your story, would know it, and would walk with you. We ask that your story would become a picture of just many, many Abrahams and Rebekahs and Sarahs and Isaacs who walked as the forefathers did, walked with you in your unfolding story. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you've invited each one of us to participate in walking, but also sharing. And we just ask for more wisdom, more strategy, and more ways to know how to do it better and more faithfully. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ricky, thank you. Samuel, thank you. Thanks for taking time. We recognize you've got a lot going on. You've given us a lot to think about, and look forward to more conversations in the days ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For sure.
And good to see everybody.
Thank you guys for being on. Appreciate it. So God bless you guys.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.